Shabbat Shalom. Do you see, I'm lucky. Yeah, and so we will speak about Israel today. No. Yeah, we'll speak about our portion. Let's pray. Our Father who is in heaven, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your salvation in the Yeshua Messiah. Our Savior, our Lord, our hope. Thank you for the joy of salvation inside of us, in our hearts, Lord. Thank you for the river of living waters inside of us. Thank you for the Ruach HaKodesh, Holy Spirit. Lord, we love you, B'Shem Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. Amen. I would like to give small advertisement here. We have very specific tools in the synagogue. If you haven't yet, please, you can take it for free. It's in the lobby. Great tool. It helps us to read together the Torah portions and come here prepared to listen, to hear, and obey. So please, if you don't have yet, please use it, because this connects us together, and not only congregation, but it connects whole Jewish world. Every synagogue around the world has the same reading of the Torah, same portion. So today I want to speak from the very easy Torah portion, Tazria Metzora, contents with the two parts, she conceives, and the second part, even more better, infected one. And everything I will speak today is the foundation of our faith. Nothing new, everything foundational. We are, as Messianic believers, should build our faith on the scriptures and never forsake who we are and why we are part of Messianic movement, why we are Messianic believers. Everything we believe should be built upon the scriptures. And first of all, I want to mention here why the Lord puts these two completely different ideas and subjects so close to each other in the Torah. When we're thinking about Tazria, she conceives, we're thinking about new life, about joy, about continuation, about blessings for the mother and for all Israel. When we're thinking about Metzora, infected one, obviously we're not thinking about new life. We're thinking about sickness, problems, death. Two completely different subjects together in the scriptures, in the Torah. So when I read it, I looked carefully. What is the common here from these two Torah portions? What is the same idea? Why are they coming together? Why are they going together? Yes, in both cases, the woman who gave birth and the person who had signs of the sickness on the skin are unclean for a certain period of time. You can read it here, it's obvious. During that time, they need to be separated from other people in Israel. And do you remember mother should separate from Israel when she has the son? For how many days? Who read scriptures? And for girl? Come on, what's happened? 33 days and 66 days. So it's a huge amount of time. After some time, they need to be immersed in the water, Tefillah, and bring the special offering to the Lord so that they may be restored back on those people. It's the same idea in the Torah portion with the woman who gave birth, and the same idea with the person who has sickness on his skin. To be separated for some time, and after the time, to be able to come back and bring the offerings to the Lord and be back to the Israel. Of course, one of the practical reasons is to care for the people of Israel. It's very obvious. And for a newborn baby with its mother. We know this special word, quarantine. Time of quarantine. Am I right in English? Quarantine? Yeah? You're so quiet, so I don't know. Maybe I'm speaking about Marsha or something, you know. space and you smile at me, we're serious. Time of restoration and healing, the special time. This is the one part, the practical part. To give mother time, to give baby time to be restored, to get back. And also, it's time to care for Israel, to separate person who is sick from the Israel, to see what's happened with him, how he's doing, what's happened with his life. But also, I see one more meaning here, and this is the spiritual meaning, and it touched me this year. It's touched my heart. Metzora leprosy, often used as a symbol of sin in the scriptures. When we're thinking about Metzora, often we're thinking about sin and consequences of the sin for the person. It's connecting together. And let's look at Tazria, she conceives, the birth of baby in the scriptures. And I want to use one of the psalms, Psalm 51, verse 7. It's a very important psalm here. And King David, he's worshiping the Lord. He's bringing the repentance before the Lord, and he speaks to the Lord. Behold, I was born in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Psalm 51, verse 7. This is a basic understanding of the scriptures, and it goes back to the time of the first sin and disobedience. It's go way back to the time of Adam, this idea. Genesis chapter 2, you can read it here and you can open with me. Verse 17. The Lord speaking to Adam. This was very strict conversation. The Lord speaking to his creation, to his son. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of it. Can you help me? What does it mean, you shall not eat? But small piece. Don't eat, but little bit, I mean. No. Don't smell it. Thank you. Good scholar of the scriptures. Don't look at it. Surely not eat from it. Why? For on the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Let's say together, surely die. And I like this word here, surely. Not чуть-чуть in Russian. Чуть-чуть, it means little bit die, you know. Small die, or surely you will die, for sure. No questions here. So what happened with Adam after he ate from the tree? He lived long life. Totally, all the years of his life was 930 years. A long life. So why did the Lord tell him, you will die, but allow him to live a long time afterward? What's happened? Why is it? So the Lord told him, in that day you will eat, you will die. In that day, that moment. And after 900 years, he lived after it. So this is the revelation of the scriptures. This is the foundation of our faith. Very simple, but very important to understand. He continued to live, Adam continued to live, but Adam's spirit was separated from the Lord. Sin came into his life, and with sin came death. Adam died spiritually at that very moment he ate. His spirit died for the Lord. He was separated from the Lord in that very moment. Yeah, he's still alive, but he was dead. So the scriptures tell about us the same. Before we came to the Lord, we were dead people, walking dead, you know. This new movie, Walking Dead. Living people, but dead inside. This is why we were resurrected by the power of the Ruach HaKodesh, because we were dead, and now we are alive. This is the basic truth of the scripture. The scriptures trace the genealogy from father to son, and the sin passed from generation to generation, from man to his offspring, in the blood of the human race. This is why King David is written these words. Behold, I was born in iniquity and in sin when my mother conceived me. It's already, it's done, it's happened. Every person on this earth was born with a sinful nature, except one. Except one. Except one. I want to read one of the strongest prophecies in the scriptures about the birth of Messiah. And every time I read it, I'm excited about it. This is the sign for all of us, for all Jewish people, for the nations of the world. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Please read with me. Therefore, Adonai himself will give you a sign. I want to stop here. Be careful here. Please read carefully. The Lord himself will give you a sign. In Hebrew, this word, ot. Behold, the virgin, Alma, will conceive. When she is given birth to a son, she will call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Hundreds of years before the birth of Messiah, the Lord promised to all nations of the earth, and the first of all, for Jewish people, the Lord will give you a sign. The virgin will give birth. And this son, his name will be Emmanuel, Emmanuel, Lord with us. And I would like to read from the David Stern commentary about this prophecy. And I want to read because I'm really agree with him, and he's really great scholar of the scriptures. Why it is a sign? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The Hebrew word for sign, ot, means an extraordinary event that demonstrates and calls attention of God's direct involvement in human affairs. When I think about the word ot, the same word ot, we can find in the Shabbat prayer with Shamru. Every week we are praying this prayer. Othi le'olam va'et, the same word, ot. Othi le'olam va'et. It is a sign forever from the Lord. You could not skip this sign. You can try, of course. But Shabbat is Shabbat. It's here from the Lord for us. We are here. This is the sign between the Lord and us. And also about this second word here, Alma. Some of the Orthodox scholars are interpreting Isaiah the wrong way. In using the Hebrew word Alma, meaning to refer to a young woman, had he meant virgin, he would have written Betula. This is another word in Hebrew, means virgin. The answer is, Alma is used 7 times in the Hebrew Bible, and always it either clearly means or implies a virgin in the scriptures. In the Bible, Alma always refers to an unmarried woman of good reputation. In Genesis chapter 24, verse 43, it applies to Rebekah, Isaac's future bride. She was Alma, virgin. In Exodus 2:8, it describes the infant Moshe's older sister Miriam. She was 9 years old at that time. She was Alma in the scriptures. The other references are to young maidens playing on timbrels in Psalms 68, verse 25. Also, maiden ben courted, Proverbs 30, verse 19. And virgins of the royal court, Shir HaShirim, Song of Songs, chapter 1, verse 3. In each case in the scriptures, context requires a young unmarried woman of good reputation, virgin in the scriptures here. Moreover, Matityahu here is quoting from the Septuagint when he speaks about Mary or Miriam. He using the text from Septuagint, the first translation of the Tanakh into Greek. The Septuagint is the earliest extant Greek translation of the Old Testament from the original Hebrew. And this is very important to understand. More than 2 centuries before Yeshua was born, the Jewish translators of the Septuagint choose the Greek word parthenos to render alma in the Isaiah chapter 7. So they use the word parthenos to interpret it. And parthenos in Greek absolutely means virgin. Before Yeshua was born, the authors of Septuagint, they were their understanding about the word alma was virgin. It was no question for them at that time. This was long before the New Testament was written, and I found it very interesting for myself. Languages is living and changed over time. This is why it is confusing to apply modern meaning to words which were written with ancient meanings. However, the Bible itself shows us how we can know when an alma is the virgin. And I want to read from Luke chapter 1, verse 34. This is a beautiful place of scripture. Mary says, ask the angel, how can this be, asked Miriam of the angel, since I'm a virgin? I don't know the man. A possible reason for the Isaiah using the word alma instead of betulah is that in biblical, as opposed to later Hebrew, betulah does not always absolutely mean virgin. Does not always. As we learn from Joel chapter 1, verse 8, lament like a betulah girded with sackcloth of the husband of her youth. It's used here, betulah. So it could not be virgin here. And also Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 19, speaks of a woman after her wedding night as betulah, even though she was clearly no longer a virgin after first night. So, and also very interesting fact here, also Muslims believes in the virgin birth of Jesus. You know where I find it? In the very secret book, internet. Wikipedia. This box knows everything. Wikipedia. It was interesting for me. I'm just looking there, and I found it's for me, it's very interesting. Even Muslims believe in the virgin birth of Yeshua, opposing to some Messianic believers who think they're Messianic and don't believe in it. Messiah was born without generational sin. He was born without generational sin. So you may ask me why I'm speaking about this for so long, why I'm taking so close attention for these words, why I'm using these words. Because this fact has significant impact on us, on our faith, on our beliefs, and as a result, and on our salvation. We believe, we trust the Lord, we build our faith upon the scriptures. This is why we are messianic believers. If Yeshua was only the perfect man, or tzaddik, or rabbi, if he only the good teacher, our faith is useless. Is useless. If he is only the man who was born in sin, we would not have salvation. We would not have redemption. If he is only the man, even if he is tzaddik, I can tell you, he more than Nachman. Much more. Nachman was born in sin, but Yeshua, not. And I know that some of believers are going in the direction of Orthodox Judaism and forgot about the foundation of Messianic faith. But we could not forget. They are Messianic, let's say together, Messianic believers. Our faith builds upon the fact that Messiah Yeshua, he is Son of God, whose Father is the Lord himself. I want to stop here. Let it get to our hearts. The Father of Yeshua is not Joseph. The Father of Yeshua, our Heavenly Father, Adonai, the Lord himself. Next scripture I want to read, always when I read the scripture, I feel the anointing from the Lord, always, every time. Luke chapter 1, verse 35. The angel answered her, "The Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, will come upon you. The power of Ha'Elyon will cover you. Therefore, the Holy Child born to you will be called the Son of God." Holy Child. He was holy from the beginning, from his birth. Sinless, with no sin inside of him. Scriptures talked about him as the second Adam. Everyone with the first Adam sinned, but second Adam, he brought redemption to us. Only the sinless Lord, the Son of God, can redeem us and purchase us by his blood. Amen, amen, amen. Only. And I want to read a few very practical places of scriptures for us. Why it's so practical for us? It is only by his sacrifice that we are made righteous, only because of him. We are righteous only because of Yeshua and his death and resurrections. And I want to read from few places of scripture. First, this is John chapter 1, from verse 12. And be with me here, please. This is a wonderful promise from the Lord. And I'm proud to be a Messianic believer. I'm proud to know Yeshua. I'm happy that I'm believing Yeshua. Because I have such beautiful promises from him. And I'm happy because of it. But whoever did receive him, and I want to ask you here, can you give me a short English lesson here? What does it mean, whoever? Are you sure? Am I too? Oh, thank you. I'm happy. You're happy for me, I'm happy for you. So we're happy together. Because you're also including this whoever, everyone in this earth, Jew or not Jew, man or woman, doesn't matter, whoever. But whoever did receive him, those trusting in his name, to these he gave the right to become children of God. So he gave right to be children of God. How? Through what? How he gave right? Because, verse 13, this is the answer for this question. They were born not of bloodline. You see, the bloodline from Adam was stopped by Yeshua, who was sinless, who died for us, who brought restoration, salvation, forgiveness. They were born not of bloodline, not of human desire, nor of man's will, but of God. It's practical. It's not only spiritual somewhere. It's here today with us. By faith, something happened in our hearts, in our lives. Very practical from the Lord. 1 John chapter 5. Verse 4, I enjoy this place of scripture. This is promised to all of us, to you personally. And if you have depression, if you have fights in your life, you have difficulties, it's for you. For everyone, again, everyone, what does it mean, everyone? It's for you, from the Lord. The Lord loves you so much. Trust him, believe him. Grab these words. Imply it to your heart. Put it inside of you. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. And the victory that has overcame the world is this, our faith. Let's say together, born of God. Again, born of God. Amen. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This promise from the Lord. And the last place of scripture I want to use about this idea, it's John chapter 3 from verse 3. And this is the perfect picture for us. The man named Nicodemus, and who remembers who he was, Nicodemus? who was he? Pharisee, Prushim. He was the teacher of Israel. And first of all, he was a Jew who's speaking to another Jew, our Messiah, the Lord, Yeshua. And they have very different and very fun discussion here, two Jews speaking together. And Nicodemus trying to argue with Yeshua, but it's hard to argue with the Lord. It's very difficult. This work, it's useless work. You remember Moshe, he tried to argue. In the end, all his life he walked around the wilderness. It's useless. So Yeshua and Nicodemus, teacher of Israel and the Messiah, the Lord, they're talking together. Yeshua answered him, "Amen, amen, I tell you. Twice amen from the Lord, no question. Don't eat. You will surely die." The same. Amen, amen. Be careful. "I tell you, unless one is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God." No way. Impossible. So you can be wise. You can be not so much. You can be Jew or not. You can be anything you want. But unless you're born from above, you will not see the kingdom of God. We don't speak about enter, we speak about see. It's very, very critical. And you see the answer from Nicodemus, Jews talking to a Jewish person. Fun. "How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus said to him, "He cannot enter his mother's womb a second time and be born? Can he?" Grab this humor. So Yeshua, you're teaching me that I need to find my mom and do something. What are you talking to me? Or I can. Yeshua answered him, "Amen, amen, I tell you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Water, this is our obedience to the Lord. This is our covenant with him. To be born of water, it means decide to follow him. This is part of our faith, our part. And this is very small part. And from the Spirit, something beautiful has happened here. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the Spirit is spirit. Whew. Nicodemus was Prushim, the teacher of Israel, and he was not aware of this basic truth of the Scripture. Completely not aware. Why? One of the reasons, because this mystery fully revealed through Yeshua the Messiah. After his death and resurrection, it was revealed to us. These words, to be born above, from above, to be born again, to be born from the Spirit, it does not mean only poetic meanings. Some people thinking that Scripture is only poetic book, fairy tale. You read it and it's cute, it's good, Cute boys there, girls, cute people there, nice, give peace to me before the dream. No, this is very reasonable and very practical meaning. Be born from the Spirit. The Lord speaks about seed of the Ruach HaKodesh in us. He gave us birth by His Spirit. His life is inside of us. We are the children of God. Faith is the beginning of something wonderful. The Lord Himself gives birth to our spirit. He breathes life inside of you. In His Spirit, it's practical. There is no longer any question. This is a simple fact. You can feel it, you cannot feel it, it doesn't matter. But when you accept Yeshua, something changes under you. Rabbi Shaul said, "I was deaf and now I'm alive. I was blind and now I see. I was in the darkness, now I'm in the light." It's not poetic meanings. It's actual here. we don't see the Lord by our eyes here, but he's here. We don't know how healings happen, but it's happened. We don't see anointing, but when the Lord comes to us, we can feel him. Yeshua speaks to Nicodemus. He said about the Ruach HaKodesh, you don't see the wind, but you see the reaction on wind. The same with the Spirit of the Lord. When he's coming, you can hear his voice. It doesn't speak about our ears, but of the ears of our hearts. This is why I'm so glad to be believers in Yeshua. Because I know my spirit born again from the Lord. Amen. And more practical. I want to go even more practical. I have 10 more minutes, so I want to deeply there. Every one of us are sinners. I'm sorry to tell it to you, but it's true. Not because you're a bad person or doing something evil, no. Because of our sinful nature. We were born into sin because of Adam. It is now in our blood. We are sick from birth with this fatal disease. This is disease in hearts, in the lives of people. But the Lord Yeshua brought redemption and medicine from this sickness. Through his death and resurrection, he reconciles us with him and breathes eternal life into us. Beautiful, beautiful. And in the end, even more beautiful, he made us righteous. He made us righteous. He created us from inside. You know, when people speak about me, how to be righteous, I always remember the story of criminal on the cross. Do you remember this beautiful story? Yeshua was crucified and two criminals, one from right side, another from left side. And one cursed Yeshua. He just gave curse to him. And another one said, why are you speaking this evil about Yeshua? He don't deserve. We are criminals, but he is not. And you remember these words. When he said, Yeshua, remember me when you come as king. So he accepts his kingdom, his power. Yeshua said to him, yes, go and keep commandments. Study the Torah. No? Go and do only good for 50 more years, and we'll talk later. It was no later for this man. He died in the same moment. I mean, he died in the hours after this discussion. It was no time. But by faith, by his faith of this criminal, the mercy of the Lord covered his life. I don't tell you, do what you want to do, and in the last day you will repent. No, I don't speak about this. We don't know our last day, our last moment. But what I want to tell you here, our righteousness is not from us. Our righteousness, this is the gift from the Lord. And in the case of this man, criminal, he received the righteousness by faith. And he was forgiven. And Yeshua said, I promise that you will be with me today in Gan Eden. Today. He does not deserve it. But the mercy of the Lord, it's too big for us. He is great. Righteousness and redemption, it's the supernatural gift from the Lord in the Holy Spirit. It belongs to the people who are born from the Lord, who accept Yeshua the Messiah. And I want to end with the Revelation 22, verse 11. And this is one of my favorite place of scripture because it puts in the order righteousness and holiness. From this place of scripture, you will understand what does it mean to be righteous and holy. Revelation 22:11. Also, whoever is righteous, let him go on doing what is righteous. One more time. I can do in Russian, but probably in English better. Also, whoever is righteous, let him go on doing what is righteous. So, can you help me to understand the order here? Who should do righteousness? Someone who is already righteous. Not opposite here. Do righteousness and you will be righteous. No. Whoever is righteous, do righteousness. Continue to do righteousness. You cannot say, I don't will not do, because if you don't go in the direction of the Lord, you're not righteous. If you are born from the Lord, you will do righteousness. This is your life. This is your heart. The Spirit inside of you will lead you to the righteousness of the Lord. You will find the ways of the Lord to be pleasant to you. You will be in the congregation of believers because this is part of your life. And second part, and whoever is holy, let him go on being made holy. Okay, who is doing holiness? Whoever is already holy, set apart by the Lord, by His mercy, by His blood, by His sacrifice. We are keepers of the Lord's commandments because we are obedient to the Lord, because we are made righteous by Him, by His sacrifice, by His blood. And I want to end here, and I want to invite everyone who is in this place, who listen to my words. If you don't know Yeshua yet, you can be great man, you can be teacher of Israel, you can be famous, but I want to tell you, you need to have healer for your life. You need to have salvation, you need to have savior who will save you from death, from sin, from the generational curse, from Adam. And the only one, scriptures tell about him, his name Yeshua the Messiah. He was born without sin. His life was completely in obedience to the Lord, to his Father. He died on Golgotha, and he resurrected from death for you and for me. Because he wanna embrace you, he wanna forgive you, he wants to reconcile you with Father, and he won't give your new beginning to be born again. You know, how many things we would do differently if we can be, you know, take our time back, be born again. This is chance for us from the Lord to start again from the Lord. Let's pray. Avinu, our Father, we want to thank you for your Son Yeshua. We want to thank you for the great sacrifice for us. Thank you for your mercy. And your mercy is much, much above the judgment, Lord. Thank you. Lord, please forgive us. Forgive everything in our life that is not pleasing to you, Lord. Lord, help us to see you, to follow you, Lord. Help us to obey you, Lord. Help us to be with you close, Lord. And also, Lord, we ask for our brothers who don't know you yet, Lord. Rest of the Jewish people, Lord. We ask for teachers of Israel who are trying to accomplish righteousness without you, without sacrifice, without blood, without anything that you commanded to bring, Lord. We ask for these people, Lord, please forgive them and reveal them the Messiah Yeshua and the way of salvation through His blood and His resurrection. Thank you, Yeshua, for your death and resurrection. Thank you for your mercy to us, Lord. Lord, we love you. B'Shem Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. Amen. So let's stand and close with the Aaronic benediction. And please find somebody close to you and so let's pray together. Yivrechecha Adonai ve'ishmerecha
Yaher Adonai panavelecha vichunecha Issa Adonai panavelecha veyasem lecha shalom.
Amen. Amen. Shabbat shalom.